Kylie the college that you were hearing about earlier, STC College, and with my wife Kate, I also lead Young Adults Church. As you can see, and hopefully you'll remember as well, our topic this year has been Join Us in Building Community. We've been going through the letter from Paul, one of the early Christian leaders, to the church in Corinth, and we've got to chapter 15 now, and we've been through topics like spiritual gifts, we've looked at love, and now we're coming on to this big topic of resurrection. And what we're going to do is we're going to do three Sundays on this, because we think it's such a big topic. Paul takes a whole chapter to start to wrestle with this, so we're going to take three Sundays. This is the first one of those, and today our title, as you can see, is Resurrection. Part one, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. What a great topic. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 11. I'm going to treat us tonight. I'm going to read the whole thing. It will come on the screen behind me. Don't feel you've got to find it in your books. So 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 11, the resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I have preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, that this is what we preach and this is what you believed. My take on this tonight, what I'm hoping to send us away with, what God has been saying to me as I've been looking at this all week, is this idea that's going to come on the screen now. The resurrection of Jesus is victory. This is the victory of Jesus. And this is the greatest thing that we can read in the Bible that points us towards how victorious Jesus is. So, let's get cracking. Let's start with the first couple of verses. I'm going to read those again to us now, just to remind us. So verses 1 and 2 said, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." This is a reminder of the gospel coming up in a few verses. And he says, you've received it, and this is what you have taken your stand. Really quickly, 30 seconds with the person next to you, what is the gospel to you? Before we kind of get to this bit, what it says in here, what is the gospel to you? What is the central message of our faith to you? And you've got 30 seconds to share that with the person next to you. So good luck. Off you go. Don't waste time. Okay, time up. I hope you all got some good, full, theologically sound answers there in those 30 seconds. But more importantly, hopefully, we'll have all said something different. But hopefully what all our answers boil down to is what we read in these next few verses. So in verses 3 and 4, I'll remind us, it said this, that Christ died for our sins. So he's explaining what the gospel is now. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. The central message of our faith, the gospel, is that God loves us so much that he himself came to die for us. And we remember from the Easter message, the kind of the first half of this gospel message, this saving from sins, this forgiveness. But the gospel message isn't just Jesus came to rescue us from sin, but to rescue us into new life with him as well. The fullness of the gospel is that he came to rescue us into new life. New life when we die, yes, but also now. When it says Jesus was raised on the third day, it's not talking about this kind of ethereal resurrection where he is kind of floating around on a cloud or anything like that. He's walking around in this new resurrected body. Christ is risen. It lists off, most of those verses in the middle of the people that Jesus appeared to after he'd been resurrected. And yes, some weird stuff's kind of happening as well, like some people don't quite recognize him at first and all of that kind of things. But he also walks and he talks and people engage with him and people even touch his scars. Christ is risen. So if this is the gospel, that Christ came to die for us and that he is risen and offers us new life, then have we taken our stand on it? The first question for us tonight, we're not going to discuss this, but the first question for us tonight is, have we received the truth that Christ is risen? Have each of us here received that truth in our lives? Great. Let's move on. I won't get us to discuss that with the person next to us. Don't worry. So where does victory come into this? I said at the start that this was kind of going to be about victory. Where does this fit in? Well, let me tell you a bit of a story. I'm going to go back to the start of the Bible. So the Bible is the story of God and his people, how he interacts with us, his people. And in the Old Testament, which is kind of the first, we say the first half of the Bible, but it's a big, big chunk of the Bible. And in that part of the Bible, his people are the Israelite people. And God is creator. God creates the world. He creates everything in it. And God is sovereign. He is king. He is all-powerful. And he made everything that is made. He knows everything that is made. He knows all things. And he loves us. He said that humans are very good when he made them. And he repeatedly says that he is for his people, particularly this nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And all through this kind of period, this Old Testament, it points towards a savior who is to come. God talks about this rescue that is going to happen, where he will come and rescue his people. Now, Israel goes through its ups and downs, and its view of what this savior is going to look like kind of narrows, as happens in our own lives. Our vision narrows sometimes when we go through ups and downs. And so instead of expecting this big savior that would do something eternal, they started looking for someone that would just liberate them from the Romans, essentially. Someone who would lead an uprising. But God's got a bigger plan here. So God sends part of himself. He sends his son, Jesus. And he sends him not with armies of angels, not ready to wage war, but he sends him ready to wage peace in a war-torn world. And he sends Jesus to offer us this new way of life. And that's what we see Jesus doing in the Gospels, this life of love, this radically different life. And so his kingdom starts to be reestablished. He starts to bring about change. He starts to speak out truth and perform miracles, and we see signs of this. And so the kingdom is reestablished, but the war needs to be won. The war needs to be won. And two enemies remain. The enemies of sin. By that I mean separation from God, people turning away from God, and the consequence of separation from the giver of life, and that is death. So that sin and death are these two enemies that remain. And so Jesus goes to the cross to defeat sin, and he rises again to defeat death. I love that way of thinking about it. And in rising, in defeating death, he brings about a victory with eternal consequences, not a momentary liberation from the Roman oppressors, but an eternal consequence that you and I are given this new life. The crazy thing is that we all get invited into that. We get invited into this new life, this resurrection life with Jesus. This is kind of called this kind of Christus Victor, this idea that we are drawn into God's victory on the cross. That Jesus, and that phrase, Christus Victor, literally means that Christ, Jesus, is the winner. He has the victory, that nothing can beat him, that nothing can stand against him. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. And to cement that, we know that he left his Holy Spirit with us, in us. And to paraphrase Ephesians, it says that the same power that raised Jesus from the death, from the grave, lives in you, lives in each one of us. And so the second question for us tonight, if the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us, and this is a power that brings all victory, do we believe that we live in Christ's victory now? Do we believe that we live in Christ's victory now? And so what does this look like for us? What does living in this victory look like for us now? And this doesn't mean an easy life. And we're always careful to say this. It doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. It's not a free pass to success either. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we can, you know, rock up to our exams and not have to worry about revising. You know, we still have to persevere in this life. If only that were the case, eh? Getting a few smiles from that one. But what it does mean is that no situation is hopeless. Whatever the circumstances are in our lives, Christ's victory in us can work all things for our good and his glory. It means that no chain is too strong to bind us. God's victory will bring freedom in our lives. It means that no aspiration is too high for us. Dream big dreams. Push doors that you think are beyond you. Try it anyway. Don't be limited to what you think you can achieve. But what can Christ, who conquered death, achieve living in you? There is power in the name of Jesus. We sing it, don't we? There's power in the name of Jesus. And we're going to sing a song later that is a great, great song called Resurrecting. And in that song, we sing that his name is victory. His name is victory. And we can call on him, not just on Sundays, not just at cell group, but every day of the week. But when we sing this song, sing it over the parts of our lives. You know, personalize it. Sing that his name is victory over those parts in our lives where we need kingdom breakthrough. And you know what? Download the song. Watch it on YouTube throughout the week. Remind ourselves of this. We live in the power of Christ's victory. A final thought just before we finish, and I invite Rich to come up and share with us. I think it's really important that whenever we stand here and give a message like this, we talk about one word, and that word is grace. And grace is this, grace is something that is completely free. It's not earned. It's an undeserved gift. A few of the guys that I work with, we went to the cinema on Thursday night, and we were given free tickets. And you know, that's just a small example of grace. It's completely free. Something that we didn't earn it. We didn't have to barter for them. Somehow, I'll let you guess who this was, but someone managed to get upgraded from a medium popcorn and drink to a large one completely for free as well. I won't kind of give any kind of clues about who that might be. But, he's got the gift of the gab. It's great. But, you know, it's a silly example of a free gift that's completely unearned. And that's what this victory is. We don't earn it. It's not if we're holy, holier than thou, or super Christians. You know, this isn't just for the people on the stage at Soul Survivor. This is for us. This is for all of us. And at the end, verses 9 and 10, Paul, who says it himself, that, as the early church was starting, he was trying to destroy it. He says himself that, you know, I'm the least deserving, but God has poured out his victory in my life. It's because of what Jesus has done, not what we have done or could do. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he did rise again so that we can live in that victory. We can live in that victory with him today and every day. This is the truth of the gospel. I'd love it if we could just take 15 seconds to maybe ask God what he's saying to us or to reflect on that. Maybe it's helpful to close your eyes as we do that. And when you open your eyes again, I will have morphed into the wonderful Rich Goodman.
Great. Thanks a lot, Dave. That was a great message on victory. That spoke to me a lot, even though I've been looking at the passage all week. So it's always good. So my name's Rich, for the people that don't know me. I'm from a great place in this nation called Liverpool. Dave has done a great job unpacking this passage and kind of giving you a bit of the background about the whole Bible, basically, up until now. It's a very, very, very good summary of the Bible up until now. So we're in 1 Corinthians and... So I have got the verses up there, but I'll quickly just say what kind of stood out to me and then go in to talk about the gospel, like Dave was just talking about, resurrection and how that all fits together. So the two things I kind of want to pull out is when Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. And then he goes on to talk about what he received, and that is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared. And then he lists all the different people that he appeared to. And I think the big thing that Paul is saying here, that there's been a resurrection. And that's when he says, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, and on which you've taken your stand. And in this passage, Paul is reminding the people of Corinth that the resurrection is the absolute core of their faith. And the good news of Jesus is how Jesus saved humanity from sin and corruption. And like Dave just said, it's not just that. It's that he brings us into completely new life. And resurrection forms such a big part of the good news, so much so that Paul can't talk about the good news without talking about the resurrection. And just to remind you as well that the resurrection's for everyone. All those people that he lists are different people that messed up in different ways. Peter denied Jesus. Paul was killing Christians. James lived with Jesus, had like shredded wheat with Jesus, and kind of walked around and kind of probably bantered Jesus. And they're the three people that Paul names, and to each of those people, whether you feel like God's given up on you or you've given up on God, whether each of us feels like this just isn't for us, the resurrection is for each one of us, and that's a thing worth remembering. And in fact, all of this chapter is about resurrection, and like Dave said, there's three passages there's three talks that we're going to do on the resurrection. And this is just the first one, so there's a lot to unpack. But basically, everything Paul has talked about in Corinthians up until this point points towards resurrection. So there was a bit that he talks about sexual immorality, which is always a fun topic to unpack. But actually, he points to the fact that the resurrection of those same bodies is going to happen at the renewal of all things. So it all comes back to the resurrection. He talks about the communion, and he's talking about with the communion, we remember Christ dying for us, but also that we're going to have new life in Jesus every time we take the bread and every time we take the wine. That's what he's talking about. So I did the college, STC College, 2 years ago, and the guy who led that was a guy called Rich Grant. And he had a phrase that there's been a resurrection. And basically, we always used to joke about it because every preach that he did, and he was an absolutely incredible preacher, he would say there's been a resurrection. And everything he'd bring back to there's been a resurrection. And in some way, that's what Paul's doing here. What he's saying is there's been a resurrection and it changes absolutely everything. And we can't talk about anything else in the Christian faith unless we talk about the resurrection. And like Dave was saying, it is completely crucial to the Christian life. And one question is, have we received the truth that Christ is risen? Have we received that core truth that there's been a resurrection and it changes everything? If we have received that truth, then there's a few things that we can expect from living in that way. So the first one is that dead things don't stay dead anymore. And death no longer has the last word. We, as humans, love to keep things dead that God wants to resurrect. And we often keep thinking that it's still Easter Saturday when it's actually Easter Sunday. And a good example from the Bible of this is at the end of John. And basically, if you don't know the Easter story, Jesus died on the Friday. On the Saturday, the disciples, the 12 and the 72 and all the others that were following him were absolutely distraught. They thought this guy was their hope. They'd put all their dreams, they'd put 3 years, they'd given finance, time, they'd given things up for him. And then he just dies. And all of a sudden, all their hopes and dreams are just in the grave with Jesus. And then on the third day, on the Sunday, Jesus rises again. And we've just had Easter, so you can hopefully remember the joy of Easter Sunday. But actually, interestingly, at the end of John, Jesus rose again, appeared to all the disciples. And then a few chapters later, Peter goes straight back to fishing, which is what he always did. He was a fisherman by trade. And he goes back to what he did before Jesus called him, before Jesus rose again. Because he was living in the Saturday still, when actually the Sunday had happened. And I think often I can do this a lot of the time, forget that the Sunday has even happened and go back to that day when all hope is lost. Go back to that day when nothing can really be as it seems. And Jesus broke into that situation as he was fishing, broke into that mundane fishing and reminded him that Sunday had happened. In fact, he walks on the water and they think he's a ghost. And Peter says it's the Lord, jumps in the water and swims after him. And if we go a bit further on, it's exactly what Dave was saying, in that it's not just that there's been a Sunday, but Jesus calls us into new life. And actually, Jesus reminds Peter, the person that denied him, that he'd been forgiven and called him into a new purpose and said, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." And that's the beauty of Jesus, that he reminds us that there's a Sunday, but he doesn't just leave it there. He calls us into a new life. And for me, I work for an organization called Fusion. So for that, I had to raise my own income, basically, and partner with different people. And often, during that time, I'd still live in the Saturday when actually the Sunday had happened. And I'd not think that I'd have enough money for the next month. And then God would provide a load of money in amazing ways by people giving financially, by people giving anonymous donations. But actually, each time I thought, is this what it should be? Is this what I planned for my life? That I'm waiting week, month on month for the next paycheck kind of thing. But actually, God has always been faithful. And that's the thing, that actually I've lived in the Saturday before, but the Sunday is so much better to live in, I can tell you. So for us, is it a relationship that's ended badly? Is it the loved ones that have died and the grief is still crippling? Is it the ones that think that life hasn't turned out the way we've wanted it to? Well, the good news is that the resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's resurrecting you. He's resurrecting our dreams, our ambitions, our hopes, our loves, our desires. That things don't stay dead when Jesus is around. And that's one thing we can be sure of. And then the beauty of that is, the next thing is, the end of death isn't the end of the story. Just like for Peter, it wasn't just the end that Sunday had happened, that Jesus called him into new life. He called him into new purpose. And that's what Jesus does with us each time. And in some ways it makes sense, because it's not just that God stops something, death and sin. It's that he's going to start something too. And after all, he is the creator God. Like, he created everything. So he's not in the habit of just stopping things. He's in the habit of creating things. And we as Christians believe that when Jesus rose from the dead, that it wasn't just one man rising. It was the start of a completely new creation where heaven was coming to earth. And heaven can continually come to earth. And that is the purpose, and that is the role and calling that we can have in our lives, that we can not just know that death is defeated, we don't just know that dead things stay dead, but it's actually the start of the renewal of all things. And it's the start of a revolution. And he calls us into that relationship where day by day, we can be called into that new purpose. So Christianity never intended to just be an antidote for death. It's not just a get out of jail free card when we get a bit sick. It's a calling to spread the good news that there's a new way to live. And it's a calling to bring heaven to the places of hell on this earth. And it's the call to choose the less traveled road in order to love and prefer others. And that's the beauty of the Christian faith. It's not boring. It's actually, sometimes you wish it's more boring than it actually is, because it turns out to be more of an adventure. And you're like, thanks, God. But actually, it's amazing. One last truth is that we don't have to wait for resurrection. That it's already happened, and God will continue to resurrect us, like I was saying. Our dreams, the things we think were once dead, he will bring to life. And it's happened to me lots of times that he's resurrected things. Like times when I've thought, this is not where I'm meant to be. And he's resurrected the dreams that he once put in my life, that he called me to be there. And I think during this song, so as Dave was saying, this is a great song about resurrection. It's a good song to sing straight after this talk. But actually, I would encourage each and every one of you to pray this into your life, to pray these lyrics into those parts of your life that are dead, that you knew, dreams that you think are they're dead, things that are broken in our lives. I just encourage us all to pray this over. And actually, if you feel that you want to be prayed for during this song, come to the front and there'll be a staff team, there'll be lots of people willing to pray. But actually, let's declare this over our lives. Let's declare that there's been a resurrection. Let's declare that dead things aren't dead any longer. And let's declare that it's not the end of the story. And for those of us that are living in Saturday, when we can be living in Sunday, come to the front again and we can pray for you. Because Sunday's happened, Sunday's continually happening. And if some of us have got a bit of Sunday in our lives, we can pray that over each other. It's always fun to do. So as we invite God into our lives, just ask, what does he want to resurrect in our lives? And what's been in the grave for too long that he wants to bring to life? So Lord God, I pray that you fill us with your spirit now, Lord, for those places in our lives that are dead, Lord, that we don't want to be dead, those parts of our life that we want you to resurrect, Lord. Come by your spirit and resurrect them. In Jesus' name.